is Unexpected with Hannah Love. In this podcast, you will gain a new perspective of how God loves you enough to call you to things that you couldn't have imagined for yourself. I recently posed a question asking you guys what you wanted to hear about. There were a number of topics, and eventually I would love to touch on all of them. But today, I wanted to start with one that I think encompasses a lot of heart ground. Though I'm far from an expert on the matter, I do have experience here. Healing. There's an ing at the end because it's present tense, still in process, and will be for anyone willing and ready to walk this road. Defined, healing is the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. I found another source that described healing in the Bible sense, saying, healing occurs through the integrating forces that restore, transform, sustain, and nurture the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, at each phase and in every dimension of life, and within relationships of the person to the creation, to other people, and to God. I believe the work of counselors and therapists is a wonderful thing. However, I will add that true healing must come from God. And a good counselor is always going to point you to God's design and use biblical principles. Now, I've mentioned before that there are resources my husband and I have used for counseling, not for any outstanding issues, but rather to help us navigate marriage in the music industry. A few years ago, because of crazy schedules and seemingly no time together, I decided a marriage retreat would be a good idea. I was so excited to dig in and have a few days with Shay working on our hearts. Not only that, but I was excited to hear an outside perspective on our lives and how we responded to things. It was actually called an intensive week, and by the time we finished, I understood why. I won't go into too much detail, but by the time we came out, I think my husband felt better, and I was left in shock at the chronic trauma we had uncovered from my past. That was the exact wording used. Chronic trauma. I couldn't believe it. Me, with my easygoing, calm demeanor. Me, with my fresh air, idyllic country childhood. Surely not. What's funny to me now is that I think a lot of people are probably like this, walking around thinking we're absolutely fine. Nothing to see here. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But under the surface, there are layers. These layers could look like years of rejection, shame, grief, loneliness, unkindness, exclusion. The list goes on. And if any of these words jump out to you, there's a good place to start. Apparently, though, I wasn't just fine. My coping mechanism had become numbing. I was, and still can be, very good at compartmentalizing feelings or incidents. I would just turn them off completely and carry on with life. That being said, coping mechanisms may look different for everyone. In fact, there are so many ways to escape feelings. I would even say that coping manifests through our behaviors. It could look like escaping through alcohol or substances, or it can be a lot more subtle. It could look like binging shows or movies at night just so you don't have to think. It could look like excessive video gaming. It could look like staying in a continuous cycle of dating relationships to keep your attention from focusing on your own heart rather than pursuing someone else's. It could even look like an extravagant social life or working to the point of being a workaholic. All of these behaviors could point to deeper issues that say, I'm coping. Now, I'm not saying that all of these behaviors always point to outstanding issues, but I am saying these can all be things that are indicators that there's more going on and there's more work to be done. The first place to start is to identify and acknowledge that you need healing. If you're anything like me, this could be a jarring revelation. In my own journey, I came face to face with some truths in our intensive session. It was pointed out to me that my heart needed some repair. Now, I actually think of myself as a pretty self-aware person, so this hit me like a bucket of cold water. Not that I was unaware I needed some work in a few areas, but nothing along the lines of a chronic trauma. I'm so thankful for the kindness of others, though, who pointed out the truth in love. In fact, if you want another piece of unsolicited advice, I'd also like to encourage you to listen to people who are close to you, if they're pointing out truth in your life. It's not always easy to hear, but be open to it. Did you know the Bible says wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy? Proverbs 27:6. That means as much as the truth may hurt, if it comes from someone that loves you, it is meant to point you towards gentle correction because they love you. It's meant to point you towards the things that God wants for you. Sometimes that means facing the hard things so God can work in them. And as hard as that may be, it is far better than the alternative. It's a blessing, really. Otherwise, we risk living a life surrounded by voices that enable unhealthy behavior, aka the voices of the enemy or those who aren't true friends. If you would rather hear placating words and live without accountability, you'll find yourself in a cycle. You'll cope rather than recover, and you'll be trapped where you could be free. Anyway, back to that bucket of cold water. I now had the awareness that I had some pretty major healing to do. So I did what any of us would do. I put it off. Literally, I put it on the back burner and said, well, I'll get to it later. I was in no hurry to go back through 30 years and sift through old wounds. The thought was absolutely overwhelming. And frankly, for someone who cherishes peace, it felt like a disturbance that I wasn't ready for. But God, in His tender mercy, gave me a gentle nudge just months later. As I set out on my daily walk, I had worship music playing and coffee in my veins. I hadn't made it down the street before I felt God saying to me, "Soften your heart. Let me work in your wounds. I can't take you to the next place until you let me in." As soon as I felt those words press into my spirit, I got defensive. The words hard-hearted were ones I only reserved for those who rejected God. And if He told me to soften my heart, it meant my heart was hard. It took me the next quarter of a mile to break down in tears and ask God to forgive me. My heart was hard. In all the years of protecting myself from fresh hurt, I had hardened my heart. I had closed off the past and, by default, the future that God wanted for me. I continued to walk with tears streaming. After I asked forgiveness, I asked Him to soften my heart. I gave Him permission to work. I said yes to doing my own work, and I promised vulnerability so my old band-aids could be replaced with the balm of God's love. I'm sharing all of this to point out that you have to give God permission to work in the hurt. I recently heard a pastor say something along the lines of, "God doesn't take you back to that hurt to bring you shame, but to give you freedom from it." It's true. It took God confronting me on that walk to motivate me to really begin the work. This meant digging into any and all areas of my life that needed healing. I soon learned that there were biblical principles at work in all of it. Here's what I mean. As I worked through 30 years of main events in my life, with the help of my counselor, I recognized a theme. It was a reoccurrence of different circumstances that left me feeling like I wasn't chosen. Over and over and over. Bullying in my younger years left me feeling as though I wasn't chosen to be anyone's friend. Unfaithful boyfriends left me feeling like I wasn't chosen. Friends who turned out not to be dependable, and even marrying someone whose career always seemed to come first. Each and every one of those circumstances left me believing the same thing. Nobody chose me. And that was the root of it. That was the lie I had come to believe. Worse than that, that was the lie I had come into agreement with. That's exactly how wounds work. A situation arises, and we begin believing some lie about ourselves or about the world. It shapes our perspective and eventually determines how we cope. So what's the answer? After identifying the lie and rejecting it, I had to ask God to forgive me for agreeing with it for all of those years. I had to hand it over to Him. And as a dear friend of mine would say, you never give something to God without Him giving you something back. So, in exchange for the lie, I asked God what He wanted to tell me. As I closed my eyes, I heard Him say, you have always been chosen. I have always chosen you. And just like that, I was free. Free from the lie that I had lived under and agreed with for so many years. It was a process that took time and intentionality, but I dug in and God did the rest. Like anything else, healing is continual. You will go your whole life revisiting areas and inviting God into them, asking Him to show you what the lie is, asking what He wants to give you in exchange. Notice how this parallels the act of dying to yourself every day. There are other areas too that are similar to this, areas in which you invite God to point out a spirit that you've allowed into your life. These can run the gamut from a spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, pride. The list goes on and on. And in these cases, you may have to go through naming things to see which is the most tender. Once you've identified it, ask God to forgive you for giving it access to your heart. Then you break agreement with it out loud. Oftentimes, this is described as coming out of agreement with the enemy. In my own personal experience, it is where healing begins. Every time I've used these principles, I have felt the weight lifted and peace reign. Sweet friends, I know I've covered a lot of ground today, but my prayer is that it lands on hearts ready to heal. Today, I'm asking that everyone under the sound of my voice is emboldened to take the first steps towards whole restoration. Acknowledge the need for healing. Invite God in. Be vulnerable enough to go back to painful things. Identify the lie, reject it, and replace it with the truth of God's word. I pray you'll show yourself grace as you begin, and I know without doubt that God has freedom of peace for you on the other side. I also wanted to include a few other things with this episode, including notes in the description because this is a lot to process, and a physical book reference for anyone wanting to dive deeper. It's called Captivating, Unveiling the Mystery of a Woman's Soul by John and Stacy Eldridge. In this book, you will discover the glorious design of women that God originally intended, understand how Jesus restores the feminine heart, heal the trauma in your story, and embrace the inherent power, freedom, and beauty that you already possess. And as another bonus, I also thought I would throw in a personal favorite song for you to listen to because it resonates so beautifully with finding healing. It's a song called Take It to Jesus by Anna Golden. I have it on repeat most days. I hope you look it up and enjoy. Okay, I promise that's all I've got for today. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode has encouraged you, please feel free to share it with your family and friends. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and my hope is that this show is a candle in the dark.